Now, everyone in this room, like, loves something, right? Everyone in this room loves something. Maybe your love is music. Maybe your love is cooking. Maybe your love is Philadelphia sports. You know, maybe your love is clothes or whatever. whatever your love might be. You know, church kids in the room right now are going, "I love Jesus." Well, that's good. That's good. We're happy for you. Me too. That's sort of a given. All right. Now there are certain things that cause us to emote. You know what I mean? There are certain things that cause us to feel really, really happy, really, really excited, right? What do we do when we have those kinds of emotions? I mean, that level of emotion. What do we do when we feel so excited about what it is that excites us most? Yes, thank my father. Thank you. Seriously, I'm not joking. Seriously, what do we do? What do you do? How? Woo! Yeah, we do that. What else do we do? What? We tell people about it. That's right. What else? Anything else? Did anybody ever give a high five before? High fives to our friends? Yeah, why don't you turn to the person next to you and give them a high five? All right, that's good. That's good. We're starting. We're getting rolling. We're getting rolling now. Let's pretend that everyone in the room is an Eagles fan. Okay, even if you're not. Let's pretend everyone is. And let's pretend the Eagles beat Dallas today. What are we gonna do? Woo! Yeah, that's more like it. That's more like it. Okay, now I got another one for you. You ready? Jesus loves you. Woo! Good, 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 good. Jesus came to earth. Ah! Woo! All right. We have a new year coming up. Oh. sit down. You people need some teaching. Okay. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis 2. All right, here we go. Genesis 2, verse 1. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, having finished his task, God rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from his work of creation. Now, what is interesting about Genesis 2 is that it contrasts the first 6 days very distinctly. I mean, God blesses everything that he makes the first 6 days as well. He blesses the sun, he blesses the moon, he blesses the stars, he blesses Adam and Eve, he blesses, you know, he blesses the gorillas and the vegetation and the water and the fish. He blesses all of these things. But the point about these things is that they're things. On day 7, what does God bless? No, he doesn't bless rest. Nope. What does he bless? A day. That's right. A day. Now, what's the definition of a day? 24 hours. All right. In Judaic speak, it would be evening and morning. All right. Evening and morning. So it would be evening all the way through to the next evening. Like it would be 6 p.m. on one night all the way to 6 p.m. on the other. That's one day. That's one day. And what's interesting about that is that it's not a thing. It's a period of time. God sanctifies time, right? This is an important distinction to understand, that God consecrates time. He doesn't just bless things. He blesses something that's unseen. He blesses almost an idea. He blesses a set apart time for something. Now we are coming upon and are in the midst of one of these time situations where we understand that something strange is happening. We call it the season. I mean, like, tis the season. The season makes me happy and joyful. The season makes me want to stab myself in the eye with a steak knife. You know, the season, all these different things. I'm not speaking for myself here, folks. I'm just being extemporaneous. The season is all these things. We talk in regard like this all the time. Winter blues. Right? That's based around a time frame. We all understand time very, very well. And we all honor time very, very well. Right? A lot of us like to complain about how much time we don't have, except that we have just the exact same amount of time as the people who don't complain about how much time they don't have, which doesn't make any sense about the complaining. We understand and love and worship time, and this is, in my opinion, we are at one of the crucial time things that we find in our year, which is the beginning of a new year. And with a new year comes what? New Year's resolutions. That's right. Take a look at this thing. Where does he come up with these things? We're at a point in time when we all, I think, recognize this point in time for what it is. And if we don't, we should. The beginning of a new year marks something, and time matters. Time matters. How do we know time matters? Time matters and should matter to us because it matters to God. That's why time matters, right? Time is so important to God that he actually takes time and he sets time apart. He makes it his own thing. If you look at the first thing God created, right? And go back to just quickly. This is a rabbit trail. God's 3. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that it was good. Now this is the first day of creation. God makes light. What day does God make the sun, moon, and stars? The fourth day. So how's there light if there's no sun, moon, and stars? Right? What's time? Or, I'm sorry, what's light? Light is energy moving across space. What God creates on the first day is the foundational building blocks. Right? He creates the foundational building blocks by which everything else is created. And what he creates on the first day is time. He lays down time. God creates light. He lays down these foundational building blocks. He puts energy and matter and space all into being. And then he does something with it. And what he does with it is he sanctifies it. He sanctifies it. God blesses each and every day. And he blesses some days more than he blesses others. It's a pure and simple way that God works. What we tend to do, is we tend to completely forget about those things. And we work in seasons that are not actually God's seasons. Rather, they're cultural seasons. We flow in cultural seasons, right? What are some cultural seasons that we flow in? Looking for answers. Obviously, the new year. The new year is a cultural season. The holidays are a cultural season. What else? Summer vacation. That's right. Which summer vacation is marked by what? The ending and the beginning of school. School is a huge season marker. For a lot of people, for almost anybody who has kids, the new year actually begins last week of August, beginning of September, somewhere in there. You know what I mean? And it marks itself by the end of June with a series of 3 months of extreme rest and insanity all mixed into one. What else? What other kind of seasons do we run in? Birthdays, that's right. We all look for this day. And we call this day our day, even though we probably share it with upwards of 10,000, 20,000 people. Somebody divide 6 billion by 365 and get back to me. What else? What other seasons? What? Sports. That's right. Sports season. That's right. Everyone in Philadelphia is looking forward to April, right? Because that will be the beginning of baseball season, and we'll see just how good the Phillies front office actually is. Right? Where seasons, sports seasons. What else?
Hunting.
All right. Good. Yes. Yeah. So times when we go out and we kill Bambi. Good times. Any other seasons? What's that? Now there's a... Hello? Sounds good to me. Now that's a God holiday right there. That's a God season. Good job. So what Dennis has done is... You know, he realizes that because he's a farmer, springtime and harvest are, why are those important times? That's right. And that has everything to do with whether or not you have a prosperous year. Good spring, good fall, and things tend to go well. Another thing that a lot of people worldwide recognize that we don't is a thing called a rainy season. In usually each or this past spring, I remember it rained buckets. in like May and June. And I said to Dennis, I said, does having all this rain in May and June help your crops? And he goes, nope, we still need rain in July. No matter what, you need rain in July, right? I mean, the rainy season worldwide is a big deal. We run our lives according to this time thing. And so does God. The question is, what do we value and what does God value? What do we value and what does God value? God obviously values rest. He sets aside one day a week that we focus not on resting, not on taking naps, but we focus on Him. It's called the Sabbath. But God runs in other cycles as well. Take your Bibles, turn back a few books to Leviticus. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 is an immensely important chapter in the Torah because it lays out the Jewish calendar that the Jews run their lives by. The Lord said to Moses, give the Israelites instructions regarding the Lord's appointed festivals, the days when all of you will be summoned to worship me. You may work for 6 days each week, but on the seventh day, all work must come to a complete stop. It's the Lord's Sabbath day of complete rest. Holy day to assemble for worship. It must be observed wherever you live. In addition to the Sabbath, the Lord has established festivals, the holy occasion to be observed at the proper time each year. Here, we've just read about this, right? This is, again, a giving of the take the seventh day and make it holy. And then he goes on. First comes a festival called the Lord's Passover, which begins at twilight on its appointed day in early spring. Then the day after Passover celebration, the festival of unleavened bread begins. This festival to the Lord continues for 7 days, and during that time, all the bread you eat must be made without yeast. Right? So God sets aside this time to do something, to remember. The point is to remember. Go down to verse 9. The Lord told Moses to give these instructions to the Israelites. When you arrive in the land I'm giving you and you harvest your first crops, bring the priest some grain from the first portion of your grain harvest. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest will lift it up before the Lord so it may be accepted on your behalf. That same day, you should sacrifice a year-old lamb with no physical defects as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. A grain offering must accompany it along with the sacrifice. So there's all these different things. Verse 15, the festival of harvest. From the day after Sabbath, the day the bundle of grain was lifted up as an offering, count off 7 weeks. Keep counting until the day after the seventh Sabbath. 50 days later, bring an offering of new grain to the Lord, right? So this is a celebration, a time, a season set apart for God's glory. Verse 23, Festival of Trumpets. The Lord told Moses to give these instructions to the Israelites on the appointed day in early autumn. You are to celebrate a day of complete rest. All your work must stop on that day. You will call the people to a sacred assembly, the Festival of Trumpets, with loud blasts from a trumpet. You must do no regular work on that day. Instead, you'll present offerings to the Lord by fire. The Day of Atonement in verse 26, the Festival of Sukkot in verse 33. All of these festivals, all of these things marking time. Time matters. And so the question is not, what seasons do we celebrate? But rather, it is, what seasons does God want us to celebrate? Now, any of us that's ever experienced significant loss knows what it means to have time marked, because we remember that time. Right? We remember when it is that we lose someone. There's a true concept in suffering that whenever something bad happens, God's name comes up. And whenever there's something terrible that happens, God is the first one to get blamed. But conversely, anytime something really great happens, God's just done what he's supposed to do. And that is a betrayal, not necessarily definitely of God, but more deeply, it's a betrayal of time. It's a betrayal of God's blessing on us. We remember great loss, but we forget great blessing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Deuteronomy 4, go there, please. Verse 10, tell them especially about the day. Actually, start in verse 9, but watch out. Be very careful never to forget what you have seen the Lord do for you. Do not let these things escape from your mind as long as you live. And be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Tell them especially about the day when you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai, where he told me, summon the people before me and I will instruct them. That way they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they will be able to teach my laws to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while the mountain was burning with fire. Flame shot into the sky, shrouded in black clouds and deep darkness. and God spoke to you. You heard these words. You proclaimed his covenant, which he commanded you to keep, the Ten Commandments. Wrote them on two stone tablets. It was at that time the Lord commanded me to issue the laws and regulations you must obey in the land you're about to enter and occupy. You are to tell these things. Things are supposed to be remembered. Time is supposed to be marked. Do you remember the time when we stood before God at Mount Sinai and he gave us the law? Kids, come here. Let me tell you about the time when God took us to Mount Sinai and gave us the law. He was there. The mountain was on fire. It was shrouded in smoke, and there was loud noises, and it was insane and crazy. There's another time when our ancestors lived in Egypt, and God rescued us miraculously. Kids, listen to this. This is amazing stuff. This is the goodness of our God. Go to Deuteronomy 32. Verse 45. When Moses had finished reciting these words to Israel, he added, "Take to heart all the words I have given you today. Pass them on as a command to your children, so they will obey every word of this law." What's Moses saying? Remember today, so that you can pass it on. Remember today, so that you can pass it on. Joshua 4, just a few pages over. Verse 1, when all the people were safely across the river, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell the men to take 12 stones from where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan and pile them up at the place where you camp tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men and told them, "Go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you can tell them, 'They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. These stones will stand as a permanent memorial among the people of Israel.'" Dad, what's with this pile of stones here in the middle of nowhere? Well, let me tell you about a time when... Psalm 78, last one. "O my people, listen to my teaching. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we heard and know, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children, but will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. We will tell of his power and the mighty miracles he did. For he issued his decree to Jacob. He gave his law to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, that they in turn might teach their children, so that each generation sets its hope anew on God, remembering his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." God cares about time. God cares about his goodness being remembered. God cares that we tell the stories of his work in our life to the people around us that we are closest to. He cares about our children knowing. Sanctifying time is about generational blessing. Listen, we talk about generational curses all the time, and we get that. You know what I mean? I got a generational curse in my life for this because I came from this, and it owns me. But so often we miss generational blessings that God has put in our life as well because we just take it for granted. When God is good to us, we just assume he's doing what's least expected of him. And that's a crime. That's a shame. God gets all the blame when everything goes wrong. And we miss him when everything is great. Today we're going to look at, and we're going to actually sanctify time together. Today's a key Sunday. Today is the last Sunday of 2008. And 2008 was a good year for you. 2008 was a good year for you. Do you know why I know that? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says every day of the last year, when you woke up, God's mercies were new. God says that every day of the last year, every day of the last year, his presence was with you and you lived in the promise that God will not forsake you. He will not leave you. His presence will guide you. Even in the midst of yours and my stupidity and sin, God rescues us from ourselves. And that is the goodness of our God. And today we're going to remember this. Today we're going to build a memorial, not a stone memorial. Today we're going to build a story memorial. All right, so don't do anything. Don't do anything until I say go, or else we would be talking about a cacophony of insanity. And we can't have that. All right? You were all given a name tag when you came in. The name tag had a number on it. All right? The name tag had a number on it. Vanessa, how do the group leaders know who's the group leaders? Did you just tell them? Ah. Okay. There you go. There you go. All right. If you don't have a name tag with a number on it, you're just going to find a group. Now, you all have different numbers, right? You all have different numbers, and you're going to go, you got to find your number, all right? You've got to find your number. If you have kids with you, you can just keep your kids with you. You can divide your kids up between spouses if you want, and one can go with the other, the other two can go with the other, whatever you want, whatever you want. But our kids are staying with us, all right? So we'll go with step one. Let's find our like numbers, and let's get some chairs together and circle up. And then I'll direct you from there. All right, you ready? Go. Okay. Now here's the first order of business. First order of business is you need to introduce yourself. Now listen closely. There's three things here. You need to introduce yourself to your group. You need to say where you are from, and you need to tell them your favorite holiday and why, and it cannot be your own birthday. Go! Go, quickly! Everybody done? Okay, good. Okay, all right, get done. All right, if you are done... Nice. All right, if you are done... Oh, by the way, give it up for DJ Kaplan back here. Now, if you haven't figured out yet, what we're doing is a Christian New Year, where we're actually sanctifying time instead of playing stupid games and watching football. So this is us looking back at 2008 right now, okay? And then we are going to end our service by consecrating and sanctifying 2009 as we head into it. If you think that 2009 is going to suck, then it will. Pure and simple. You know what I mean? If you assume that that's how it's going to be, that's how it's going to be. But if we go into it assuming God's blessings, despite our circumstances, it's amazing what God can do when we just take authority and dominion over the things that God tells us to. So cool. Next assignment for you, once you finish your introductions, is you need to create a group cheer. Okay? A group cheer. I'm dead serious. I'm not even joking. Don't play the cool card here. All right? You are not too cool for a group cheer. All right, if you don't know how to make a group cheer, look to a kid. They do. All right, but make it a cool cheer. Make it a cool cheer, you know. Woo! Something like that. You know, anything. Anything. All right, go. Go. All right. All right, next step. Next step. Now, we're gonna look back at 2008 now. All right, we're going to look back at 2008, and we're together going to celebrate God's goodness to us. Now, feel free to celebrate and to share a story of celebration through an experience of pain. I mean, you know, we're not trying to just be all peaches and roses here. I mean, there were some significant struggles that some of us went through in 2008 that God showed up great in. What we want to do is give God glory, thanksgiving, and praise for what he gave us in 2008, in our relationships, through our church, through our job, through our family, whatever, however it might be. We want to give God glory and praise we call these things glory stories, right? Now, whenever anyone finishes a glory story, you do the group cheer, right? It's how we thank God. And it doesn't, if the glory story is 10 seconds long, you know, I got a $50 check this week and I wasn't expecting it, you know, group cheer. We thank God for it. You know, if God took you through the hardest experience of your life and it took 9 months out of 2008, group cheer. You know, we praise God for everything that he did for us, for every speck of his goodness in our lives, even in the times that are hard. All right, now a couple things. Number one, make sure that no one monopolizes the time in the group. Your glory story should not take more than like a minute or two. All right, because we want everybody to be able to share. And we want to speak the greatness of what God is more than we want to focus on ourselves. So share what's going on. Share the meat. Share what happened. But then rejoice together. We thank God. We praise Him for what 2008 was. All right? Ready? Go. I'm going to deliver the last glory story. That everybody does their group cheer all together after this one more time. Last night, Kurt and Michelle Fisher had their baby, Lily Grace. So let's thank God. Yeah, do your group cheer. Ah. Oh, that's good stuff. That is good stuff. That is good stuff. All right, we're gonna bring it down now, and we're gonna go into some personal quiet. All right, so we'll go into a quiet space. You can stay in your circles. You can stay in your circles. You can stay there, and we're just gonna chill to some music, and we're gonna chill with our God, and think about what it is that He's given us, and we'll just praise Him in the quiet of our own heart. All right, then we'll move forward from there. Say thank you. Look back over it and feel the things that we didn't ask for and that we didn't want. And it's hard for us to walk through those things together. But we say thank you for your presence in those things. We thank you for the beauty that is our God, the peace that is Jesus. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for what it is that you blessed us with in Christ. Most of all in 2008, as we look back at it, we say thanks for Jesus. Thanks for our families. Thanks for our church. Thanks for relationship with one another. Thank you for rescuing us from ourselves time and time again. You truly are the God that's mighty to save. We bless your name. And thank you for this time. We praise you. We praise you for what you brought us through. And for your goodness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. This is not communal worship at its finest. You take this home and you do something with it in the community that you live in, and that's communal worship at its finest. Right? Sanctify your home. Sanctify your space. Sanctify your workplace. Sanctify your relationships. Set apart 2009 as something that is going to bring glory to God. Second thing, right? After we give first love, when we go to Jesus just for the sake of Jesus, nothing else. We worship together as families or as our family here at Cornerstone or with our friends, whatever. We worship. We give first love. We set that apart. We put Jesus at the place that He belongs regardless. If all this just ended now and we're just cast into utter oblivion, God is still worthy of our praise. And that's what we base sanctification of time on, is that this is about God. All of the Jewish festivals were pictures of God. It was about Him. It was the reason God ran these seasons, their lives through these seasons was, I mean, yeah, He wanted them to have food to eat, but He wanted them to know who was their provider, right? He wanted them to have homes to live in, but He wanted to know who gave them the raw materials to build the homes. He wanted them to know that they were saved, but He wanted them to know who their Savior was. That was the whole point. So, and when you look back at time, when you look back at 2008, we do so with thanksgiving and praise. When we look forward into 2009, we look forward with a posture of worship first, and then of consecration second. Right? Consecration second. Now, if this was Old Testament, right, and if I was going to consecrate Brooks here, I would bring Brooks up, and I would have him kneel, and I would say, Brooks is set apart for something special. That's what consecration is. Brooks is set apart for something special. And then I would take a vat of oil and I would dump it on him. And it would signify the anointing of consecration that has been placed on him. I would encourage you to again, in the space that you live in your homes and relationships, to take this thing and to do something with it when it comes to consecrating 2009 and saying that 2009 is going to be a real spot for us. We are going to anoint this time with the Spirit of God. We're going to anoint the 365 days that are ahead of us with God's Spirit. We're going to submit this time first to God and not to ourselves. I assume that on, you know, March 10th, 2009, I'm going to get up and do something. But I subject that right now to the will of God in my life. And if God doesn't want me to do what I think it is that I want to do on March 10th, I'm listening for that now. Because I'm saying that March 10th, 2009 is God's day. And whatever it is that he wants to do with me on that day, I trust him, I believe him, he doesn't fail. So it's that consecration, it's the anointing of time. So let's go to God and let's take 2009 together as a Cornerstone family to him. And let's bless his name. Okay, I'll stop, I will cease breathing as well. All right. If anybody has any insight into this, there's a line, a spiritual line. It exists right here, like this box here and this box here, and then all the way across the front. It extends all the way to the ceiling. And when we get beyond that line, like when I'm up here, I never have technical problems when I'm down there. If I'm on the floor, my mic doesn't act up, and everything seems to work fine. It's when I step on the stage, something strange happens. By the way, you can sanctify space as well. Maybe this is leading into something. And up here is just, speaking of cacophonies of insanity, you know, this can be a cacophony of insanity. Just from an electrical standpoint, oftentimes there's like, well, musicians are musicians, you know, there can be artistic beatings of heads or whatever going on, disunity, call it whatever you want. Justin was in here a couple of weeks ago. Some strange presence was going on up here on the stage. I sensed something a couple of weeks ago. If anybody has any insight into what's going on in this space, you prophets and seers that are in our congregation and intercessors, I'd be really interested to hear what that might be. Especially since this is our space that's dedicated for the actual like worship leading. I'm wondering if there isn't some priestly anointing that we're not living in or something like that. No idea where that came from. All right. We're going to pray and consecrate and anoint 2009. So let's bow together. God, we bless you. We bless your name. We thank you for giving us time. The coolest thing about time, for me anyway, is the perspective of knowing that you're not subject to it. I mean, time just owns us. Time owns every one of us. I'm not even talking from a stewardship standpoint now. Just the fact that we are all going to die. Time catches up. You know, we are all given certain numbers of days. You oversee that time. You give us that in your grace and your wisdom. We live it. But you're not. I mean, you're not held to those things. You supersede, you rule over, you are sovereignly in control over the very thing that dominates us, that we will never escape from. And so putting our faith in you for 2009 is just a really simple thing to think of. But we miss it. We miss it. I miss it. I miss the consecration of what 2009 should be. I miss it because I get busy. I miss it because my time becomes my idol. We miss it because our time becomes our idol. We miss it because we forget about you just because we lose our awareness. But God, we don't want to lose that awareness today. And we don't want to lose it in the future in this year that's coming ahead of us. And so we want to bring 2009 and the year that's ahead of us, we want to bring it into this space here that we're in together as a community. You've given us authority in this space. We stand robed in white through the blood of Christ. We stand as brothers and sisters united under our head Jesus, you as our Father. And so we bring this 2009 time into this worship space where we've blessed you and blessed your name and sought to increase your glory. And God, we bring 2009 there and we kneel it before you and we anoint it with the Holy Spirit. We consecrate it and give it to you for your service. It's not our time. We dedicate it to the glory of our God. So God, I pray that you would take each and every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every month of 2009 and that you would use it to do your will and your work in our lives. We give it to you. We set it apart for special use, for the special use of remembering that we are not our own. We were bought with a price. And therefore, it is our call to glorify God in our bodies. And so I pray that as we walk this out, I pray that as we live this out, I pray that as we move into 09 and as we live in that space, that each and every day would be anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit, that he would be our guiding presence, that we would be walking in the Spirit, that we would be filled with the Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit would be seen in our lives, that every place that we go, that we would just reek of Jesus. God, that the places that we're in, the relationships that we have, the workplace, the schools that we go to, all of the different environments that you've placed us in, God, that in those spots, that this time would not be ours. Be it fun time, be it work time, if we're in mourning, if we're joyful beyond our wildest dreams, if your provision is seen everywhere, or if we're in a time of famine, God, I pray that our time would be sanctified before you. We lay it before you. We give it to you. And I pray that you would use it to do your will and your work in this church, to do your will and your work in our lives. We declare in the name of Jesus that 2009 is set apart. It is not just another time to enter into a new year, but rather it's a time where our God will be glorified through us. So God, so make us agents of righteousness. Make us people of transformation. Draw us deeply into your presence. And I pray that we would walk in and be filled with your Spirit at all times. Thank you for giving us time. Thank you for the wonder of life and the world that we live in. Thank you that you reign supreme over all. We submit this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.